Man, appreciate that, man. Two verses tonight, if you would. Romans 10 and 2 Timothy 4. Romans 10 and 2 Timothy 4. Appreciate that special tonight. Wasn't quite mega men. It's kind of like medium men. But it was mega good. I was going to call him mini men, but I thought that would be insulting. But in all seriousness, I really appreciate that. It was good. Good song, too. Appreciate men who are willing to get up and sing for the Lord. We ought never be ashamed to get up and sing. We may not be any good at it. We may not be able to sing solos, but we can get up with a group. You can always hide out in a group, right? So it's good for us to do so. Let's do Romans 10 first. Romans 10, verse that will be familiar to us, Romans 10, verse 14. Excuse me. Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Then look, if you will, over in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. In verse 1, Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Never in our lifetimes, any of us here, have we had more opportunity to communicate than we do today. Everybody's talking. I mean, everybody's talking all over the place. You know, my love for social media, which has grown more angry every day over social media. And you may say, well, it's a great means of communication, because you never pastored a church. You never have to deal with all the aftermath, not just in church, but work in other places that social media does. Because people are so courageous on social media. It just creates problem after problem after problem. And then politics. A lot of talking going on. Nothing being said of any substance, but there's a lot of talking. And so we got a lot of people talking, but the problem is, and I know we're not supposed to use this word, but ain't nobody listening. Amen. A lot of talking, but ain't nobody listening. Over the years, I've read, I don't know, a number of books on listening. Believe it or not, you wouldn't think a man would have to read a book about listening, but we need to learn to listen and know how to listen. And I've taught over the years a few messages here and there on listening and the importance of listening and what it means to listen. So we're getting ready to roll into another Bible book here pretty quick. But before we do that, I thought, with all that's going on, I listened to some of the presidential candidates' interviews and thought, this would be a good time to preach on listening. All right, and so we're going to do that, not in a political realm, but in a spiritual realm. So here's our thought for tonight to get us started. One of the greatest needs of our time, a revival of listening. One of the greatest needs of our time, a revival of listening. Father, we pray tonight as we come to that you'll listen to us, that you'll hear our request tonight, that you'll help us, and we know that you will. We have your promise that if we call upon you, you'll hear. And so I pray that you'll help us tonight as we think about this subject and as we talk about this topic, and Lord, that you'll help to make us all better listeners, first of you and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life, of the Word of God, but then also of preaching and teaching as well. And Lord, just make us great listeners when it comes to your things. And we just ask your help in all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to his Word tonight. Of course, we talk about listening, and we're going to talk about God's Word in another message, but tonight we're talking about listening when it comes to preaching and teaching, when it comes to the ministry of the New Testament church, which is the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Most of us, I'm sure, here on a Sunday night, we're aware of the fact that the word preaching, or the idea of preaching, is to proclaim. It means to proclaim. It's sometimes defined as to cry aloud. It's defined as to invite, because we're inviting people to respond to the message and to respond to the Word of God, to summons, which is just another way of saying to call. And probably one of the best definitions is to proclaim and call to a decision. Because preaching's not just about teaching a lesson of some kind. It's about calling us to a decision, to make a decision about the things of God, about what we've heard in the message. Now, in the house of God, of course, we're not supposed to. We don't anyway. And as independent Baptists as a whole, we don't. But in the house of God, we're not supposed to use the latest gimmicks, the latest business or sales techniques, which is what a lot of the contemporary church is based on today, to call people to make right choices. Instead, we use the proclaiming of God's word. We're trying to get people to respond, to make wise decisions, which is spiritual decisions, biblical decisions. And we do that through the preaching of God's word. We could implement all kinds of business techniques and sales techniques. We could implement English. we could implement all kinds of different strategies and so forth, as the world so often does. But our job is to invite people, challenge people, summons people to make a decision by using the word of God. The word of God is our tool. Amen. That's what we're supposed to. It's why we give an invitation at the end of services. Because it's a time that calls people to decide what they're going to do with what they've just heard. I wrote an article for a paper one time talking about the fact that one of the most important parts of every service is the invitation time. And certainly the preaching is important, but that doesn't do a great deal of good unless we respond to what we have heard. And so that's one of the reasons why it makes it so evil in my eyes to not have an invitation time, because we should be calling people to a decision, a point of decision. Now, sometimes we're not going to be called to make a major decision every time we come to church, but yet it should be speaking to us in the sense that from time to time we need to make decisions about the Word of God and about our choices. And that's what it's all about. So preaching is putting forth the clear message of the Word of God with the expectation that the hearer or the listener, upon hearing it, is going to respond and apply it. I mean, that's what this is about, isn't it? It's about preaching God's word so that people will listen. It's just not you that listens. The preacher listens too, because you're preaching to yourself both when you study and when you preach it. There's been a lot of times while I'm preaching, the Lord speaks to me about something. And so it's preached with the expectation that we'll all listen, and listening respond by making application to it in our life. That's what this is supposed to be about. It's not a classroom. Class, we just instruct things, but here we're doing it with the desire to have people to respond and apply it in their life. So with that in mind, let's think about this first, that preaching, and we're going to talk about preaching and teaching tonight. We're going to talk about other aspects of listening in another service, but preaching is different than any other kind of speaking. And to a degree, Sunday school teaching is as well. It's a different form of public speaking, unlike any other form of public speaking. And the reason why that is so is because we're dealing with spiritual things. This is just not a class. We're not, you know, reporting on the news here. We're not trying to instruct you on how to make widgets. You know, that's not what this is about. We're instructing in spiritual truth and wrestling and dealing with spiritual things. Read Paul when it talks about the spiritual warfare that we're in. And so whenever we're preaching or teaching a Sunday school lesson, then we're dealing with spiritual things and spiritual truth. That's one of the reasons why preaching is not only the center of all we do, but preaching is also a major theme of the Word of God. The word preaching, in one form or another, appears in your King James Bible 149 times. And that's not counting the words that are synonymous with preaching, such as proclaim and so on, just preaching itself, or preach or preaching 149 times. So that's a fairly large theme, amen, in the Word of God, this thing of preaching. Few verses, I would imagine, says more about the importance of preaching than the text that we read a minute ago in Romans 10, verse 14. How shall they hear without a preacher? You can't believe unless you hear. And how are you going to hear unless it's proclaimed to you, unless there's a preacher, unless there's somebody teaching the truth of God's word? How can you ever hope to respond to it? Now, that said, as I said a moment ago, preaching is different than any other form of public speaking because it deals with spiritual truth. You know, in preaching, we deal with people who are interested. Sometimes. Amen. People who are interested in spiritual truth. And they want to hear and they want to know about spiritual truth. I hope that's you tonight. All right. We're interested and we want to hear. We're eager and looking. Some people even look forward to preaching, to hearing truth and applying it to their life. And so there are those people who are interested in it. And this is going to shock all of you. But on the other hand, we deal with some other people. You know, we deal with people who are uninterested. I mean, they come to church and they're bored out of their gourd because they have no spiritual sense, you know, and so they're completely bored out of their gourd. They care nothing for their soul. And so they're bored out of their gourd when it comes to preaching. Some are excited about the message, and some people have so little interest in it that they look for any excuse possible not to have to sit under preaching. Some people are so sick, I don't know how they ever get to work. Because every service, when it comes to preaching, I'm just so sick. How do you make a living? I'm not talking about you personally. That's a general statement. How do you make a living? Some people look for every opportunity to either miss church or be out of the auditorium when the preaching of God's word's taking place. And of course, others get nothing from it because they're willfully ignorant. They just don't want to learn. They don't want to hear. They're too proud to acknowledge the truth of the message, too proud to acknowledge that God's word is right and I'm wrong. Given to misunderstanding the message because of preconceived ideas, their own thinking. Some are given over to anger over various messages that shut out their ability to listen and to hear. You know, they're listening along, doing just great until there he goes again. And all of a sudden then we shut off our hearing and we shut off our listening because we're not going to learn anything from that point forward, you know, because there he goes. He's off on that whatever it is again. And so people respond to preaching in so many different ways. Some are given to simply resisting the message. And let's just be honest. Probably should since we're preaching. Let's just be honest, or I'm preaching, you're listening. I'm doing my job, you do your job and listen. Let's be honest. We also deal with church members who regularly doze off during service in the midst of preaching. And so they get nothing out of it. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can't get anything out of anything when you're sleeping. All right, it doesn't work that way. And I realize from time to time we're on medication and different things. I completely understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, there's the guy who needed the message, you know, who should have responded to it, but sat right in the room and didn't hear anything because he or she was asleep. Right? So we're dealing with all of this. There's a reason why, you know, this is spiritual stuff. This is a reason we joke about it, but it's true that one of the hardest places to stay awake is where? Church. Because we're in a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle and all that we deal with. And so this thing of listening is so important. And let's be honest about this too. You know, some people choose to make themselves so busy outside of God's house on Saturday that by the time they get to church on Sunday, they're too tired to hear anything. And so as a result of that, we don't make preparation to hear. You know, we all have an exhausting day from time to time, you know, but when you're sleeping through every service, there's a problem. Unless the doctor's got you on something, putting you to sleep, there's a problem somewhere if you're sleeping through every service. Now, most importantly, though, what makes preaching even more challenging is that in preaching, are you listening? Okay, that's good. Because in preaching, one thing that makes it different than any other form of public speaking is that the burden to hear and to receive anything is on the listener. The burden to receive and to apply rests primarily on the hearer. You know, there's been an attempt, and has been for years, to shift the burden of that responsibility to the preacher. This is largely what the contemporary movement is about. You know, many people today believe it's the preacher's responsibility to hold their interest, you know, to be exciting, to make the services exciting, to hold their interest, you know, so that they can get something out of the message. Well, I would get something if he was just more exciting. You know, if he jump up on the pew, I won't remember anything that he said, but I'll go home saying, man, that was good. Did you see what he did? It was exciting. Amen. And so there's this mentality it's the preacher's job to get our interest and hold our interest and make it exciting for us. That's absolutely where so much of this contemporary nonsense comes from, where we have lighting crews and ministers of lighting and the music and the dark platforms and all the stuff that goes on, the craziness that goes on, because it's all designed to try to hang on to the interest of the hearer, because we've shifted the responsibility to hear and receive from the hearer to the preacher. Is this making sense to us at all? You know, people tend to feel their job is to show up, you know, and then the preacher's job is to deliver exciting message that holds their interest, you know, and that they can get something from it. Now, this is despite the fact that in the Bible, there are many times when the Word of God is clearly preached. I want you to think about this. There are multiple times in the Word of God where God's Word is clearly preached by men much, much better at this than I am, or anybody in this room, where the Word of God is clearly preached, and there is little to no response. At times, God's Word is preached. I think we could put Paul down as a fairly exciting speaker. All right? But there are times when men in the Word of God preach God's Word. Not only did the hearers not respond properly, but they responded in violence at the message. More than a right response. You know, a message that was directed at destroying both the message, or a response that's directed at destroying both the message and the messenger. And so when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, this is a unique thing. Because the responsibility of the preacher is to preach, the responsibility of the hearer is to listen, to make application. It's not the preacher's responsibility to gain everybody's interest and to hold their excitement, to make it more exciting and more exciting, because then you have the law of diminishing returns. Whatever we do this week won't be exciting next week. And so it gets more exciting and more exciting, gets more shallow and more shallow. But it's the hearer's responsibility. It doesn't matter how preaching goes forth. It doesn't matter how exciting it is. How the people respond is based on the hearer, which is why in the Bible we see violent responses to preaching. You would think if the responsibility for the hearer to receive anything, when Jesus spoke, everybody would receive. But of course they didn't, did they? Look over in Matthew chapter 10. Are you listening? All right, Matthew 10. So make sure. Not my response. It's not my fault if you're not listening. Matthew 10. When Jesus sent forth the 12 in Matthew 10, I want you to notice he gave them instructions concerning this very subject. And I think I said Matthew 12, but it's Matthew 10 is where we need to be, whatever I said. Matthew 10 and verse 5. It says, those 12 Jesus sent forth commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any of the cities of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the sake of time, look at verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves. And so he talks about the fact, I want you to go forth and preach, but be warned, everybody is not going to be excited about the message. There's going to be actually violent responses sometimes. Look at verse 17. He says this in verse 17, but be wary of men, for they shall deliver you up into councils, and they shall scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought forth before governors and kings for my sake, for the testimony against them and the Gentiles. And so he warns here that sometimes the message will be met with violence. And if you notice in verse 19, it says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour that you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father. So even with the Spirit of God involved in this, he sends forth the 12. The Spirit of God's involved in this. He's directing them, giving them the words to speak, helping them with their preaching, if you will. Some of those will hear and be excited about what they've heard. Some will get saved. Others will respond negatively. They'll have no interest in it whatsoever. Apathetic, will not care. And then Jesus warns that there are times when some will even have a violent response. Because this is spiritual warfare. It's not the words that's the problem. It's a spiritual battle. And some will respond in violence, even though the Spirit of God is involved in it. Sometimes the hearers don't respond as we would hope that they would. Now, the preacher, no matter who we're talking about, or a Sunday school teacher, if you will, certainly plays a role in this. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The preacher or the teacher has a role in this. But his responsibility is not to be entertaining. His responsibility is not to get a response. His responsibility primarily lies in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2, where he says that we're to preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and so forth. The preacher's job is to preach. The Sunday school, if you're a Sunday school teacher, your job is to teach the word of God. Amen. And to let it go forth. Your job is not to entertain the class. Your job is not to try to get a response out of them. Preaching, I tell the guys in institute, it's a dangerous thing when you begin to preach trying to get a response, because I know how to get people to the altar. I could preach a message tonight that'll get people to the altar, But they're not coming because they're under conviction. They're coming because I've made them feel guilty about something. But we want God's word to work on people's hearts and elicit a response. And the hearer's job is to hear it and then respond. As I said, it's not the preacher's job to get a response. Besides that, Romans 10 and other places, the preacher's duty is clearly stated that we're to preach the word. Look over in Acts chapter 20, if you will. Acts chapter 20. So if you ever leave here and think, well, that was boring, it's your fault. I just want you to know that. It's what this is all about. Acts chapter 20. As I said a moment ago, the preacher certainly has a responsibility. I'm not saying, you know, the preacher's job to get up there and it's nothing's his fault. We certainly have a responsibility in this. But it's not to be entertaining or to get a response. It's to preach God's word. Romans 10 and verse 14, where we read a moment ago, how shall they hear without a preacher? That pretty much speaks to the seriousness of all this. But another verse would be Acts 20 and verse 25. Here we have Paul, and it says, this is Paul's farewell to the Ephesian church. And he says in verse 25, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And he goes on and says, for this I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul's point here is that there is a multitude of voices. Listen, there are people trying to influence you. And there are people trying to influence me. And so he says, Paul says, my concern is even after all the work he did in Ephesus, that there will be people who will enter in among them. These are people who grew up in the church or are members of the church who will try to influence to a negative way. And so Paul says, that's the reason why it was so important that I preach the word of God and I preach the full counsel of God's word. And then he goes on and says this, verse 29, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples away after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so he talks about the importance of preaching. If you're not saved tonight, preaching is important because it's through preaching that you hear about what Jesus did to save you, how you can be saved. Then once we get saved, preaching is important because it is what protects us from the influences that are outside God's word. And so Paul says one of the important aspects of preaching, if we'll listen, is to protect us from outside influences. And there's no end to the outside influences. Now, while the preacher's responsibility is to deliver the word of God, the primary responsibility of the hearer is to receive it and to apply it. To make application of it, to receive it, to apply it, and to respond to it. So that the hearer in any church service let me put it this way. The hearer in any church service is never neutral. Never neutral. There's no one in this auditorium tonight that is neutral. Okay, I'm active because I'm doing the preaching about preaching. And you're not neutral because your responsibility is to hear and to respond. So we've all got a job. Amen. And whenever God's word is preached, no one is neutral. If you're not saved tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something. He died on the cross that you might be saved. If you receive him by faith, you can be delivered from your sins and know that heaven is your home. Okay, you're not neutral in all that. You have a responsibility to hear that, understand that you desperately need to be saved and respond. And the same thing's true of preaching on any subject. When the word of God is preached, none of us are neutral. Our responsibility is to listen, to hear, to apply, to respond, to look for ways to apply it in my life. There's nothing neutral. We're only neutral when we're sleeping, right? But we're not neutral in this whole process. It doesn't all rest on the preacher. It rests on all of us because, again, none of us here tonight are neutral when it comes to hearing God's word. The listener isn't neutral because they're supposed to listen, to respond. It's not the listener's job to participate in the sense that to add his opinion. You may have an opinion, but please don't add it in the middle of my message. If you want to come to me afterwards and tell me that you have an opinion, I'll tell you you're wrong and we'll go on our way. Amen? But don't do it during the service. All right? The listener doesn't participate by giving their opinion or by having a say. He participates by listening and seeking ways to apply the message to his or her life. That's what the listener's job is to do. Now, for that reason, one of Jesus' favorite phrases and one of the favorite phrases of the Word of God is something along the lines of, he that hath ears to hear, what? Let him hear. He says, listen. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Or some variation of that. Let him hear shows up 18 times in the New Testament. Let him hear. That doesn't count the number of times Jesus rebuked those that he spoke to for being dull of hearing, refusing to hear. So there's a responsibility to hear, a responsibility to listen. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, this is ridiculous. Of course, that's why we're here, to listen. No, I'm talking about hearing, not just listening. Because this involves hearing, searching our hearts, making application of God's Word where it is necessary, where it needs to be. Look over at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. If there is a chapter in the Bible on hearing, it would have to be Matthew 13. You know, Jesus talked, as I said, a lot about hearing, over and over. Hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. Hear the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. Jesus constantly rebuked people for being dull of hearing. We have a problem with hearing. Matthew 13, again, if there is a chapter that we could call the textbook on hearing, it's probably Matthew 13. In verses 1 through 9, Jesus gave the parable on hearing using those four soils. And it ends up in verse 9 where he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so he says in verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. The great multitudes came and gathered. Verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it. Some fell in stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith it sprang up, but had no deepness. When the sun came up, of course, it was scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns and were choked out. And of course, in verse 8, some fell among good ground. You know these verses. Fell on good ground, brought forth fruit many, many times over. And then in verse 9, Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus tells us this is largely, we think of this passage about the heart, but Jesus also tells us this is largely about hearing. Because our heart is only affected when we what? When we hear, when we listen, and when we apply. And so this is also a passage not just about the heart, but about listening, because I don't think you can separate the two. The disciples then, in verse 10, after Jesus says this, he gives the four hearts, and then in verse 9 he says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 10 is when the disciples come to him, and they ask him about this. They ask him, they're puzzled, why are you speaking in parables? It's like, they're coming to the Lord, and basically what they're saying is, Jesus, do you not understand that they don't understand? Verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? You do understand, they're not understanding this. Lord, why do you speak in parables? Jesus then responded that it wasn't given them to understand. In verse 11, he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Now, does that mean that only a select group of people are given the chance to understand God's Word? Well, that's nonsense. Of course, that's not what it means. Does it mean that only a select group can hear, only a select group can receive the truth or understand the truth? The trouble was that though the crowd heard the message, they were unwilling to receive it. They were unreceptive to the message. Verse 13, therefore speak I unto them in parables. Let's go back to verse 11. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I into the parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they what? Hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed what? gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. So Jesus responded to this by saying the reason the crowd doesn't know these things is because they're not listening. They're not willing to hear. They're not willing to receive. The trouble was that though the crowd heard the message, they were unwilling to receive it. They were unreceptive to it. And though some who listened to Jesus preaching had questions, oftentimes the questions weren't a pursuit of truth. They were questioning in order to challenge him in some way. And so even though the preaching was going forth, and I feel better about this because even Jesus couldn't hold a crowd sometimes. You know, on the other hand, the disciples were able to receive. The reason they were able to receive is because they wanted to know. They wanted to hear. And so therefore, they had a genuine interest in the message. And that's why it says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear." He says, you're open to the truth. You're open to the message, open to making application of it. So therefore, you're able to understand it. It's not that the crowd or the multitude weren't given the opportunity. They had the opportunity. They just didn't want to listen. It had opened, Jesus said that because of the disciples' desire to hear and apply, it had opened their understanding to things that even the Old Testament saints longed to see, things that the Old Testament prophets longed to understand, but weren't given, it wasn't given to them, it wasn't revealed yet. In verse 17, it says this, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." There was no problem with the Old Testament prophets. It wasn't yet revealed to them. He says, do you understand that because you're willing to hear, you're willing to receive something the crowd's not willing to do, so they don't understand, but because you've opened up your ears, because you've opened up a willingness to understand, you're getting to see things and hear things that the Old Testament saints long to see and hear. So there's an advantage to hearing, an advantage to listening, and to hearing the message of the Word of God. Jesus used all of this to give the listener a promise. Jesus in his passage gives the hearer a promise. And that promise is in verse 12 and 13. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Jesus gives us a promise here that if we'll listen, the more we listen, the more we receive. The more we're willing to understand, the more we will understand. Do you know tonight that you can actually diminish an understanding? He says those who are willing to receive and willing to understand gain more. He says, but when we cut off our understanding, we actually lose understanding. Listen, I've seen people, many people over the years who listened to preaching. They loved the Word of God. They were following. Then they started being influenced by something else. And the next thing you know, they start changing their positions and changing their views and changing this and changing that. And the next thing you know, you look at them and they're nothing like what they once were. And you think to yourself, how can you not see this? It's clear as day what the Bible says, but now you've reversed course on this, even though it's so clear, and it's like they've lost their understanding. When you cut off your understanding, that's a dangerous place to be. And so Jesus says we can actually, look how Mark records it. Look over in Mark chapter 4. Look how Mark records this same statement. Mark chapter 4, look in verse 23, Mark 4 and verse 23. Here we go. "If any man have the ears to hear, use them." Amen. Let him hear. And he goes on and says this in verse 24. "And he said unto him, take heed what ye hear." Now, why should I take heed what we hear? Because we're hearing all kinds of things. Be careful what you hear. But when you hear the truth, make sure you listen. "Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be what? Given." He says, the more I'm willing to listen, the more application I'm willing to make, the more God shows me. Now, there's nothing mystical about this book, but we do understand, don't we, that this book is spiritually discerned. So therefore, I need God to reveal His written word to me to give me more and greater. And I can understand the historical facts of this book, but to understand what God's trying to say to me, to understand this great spiritual truth. I have to have God show me that. We say this all the time. It's why you can read your Bible through 100 times and 100 times see something you never saw before. It's not that somebody snuck it in there between times 79 and 80. It's that God turned on your understanding. And the more I'm willing to listen and the more I'm willing to apply, God gives me greater understanding and more understanding. The reverse of that would be true. The more I'm unwilling to listen, then I cut off my understanding. And the reverse is true. Again, in Mark 4, verse 23 or 24, he saith, and take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him it shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. So we can actually, do you believe this? You can actually lose ground. Amen. Let me make it a bit more. You can become dumber, all right, in the things of God. Not so much dumber, just more stubborn. Yes. And lose ground on God's word. So God's very clear about the fact that listening is important. Do you want the promise of the listener? Then we've got to be willing to listen and apply, make application of God's word. You can dig your heels in and refuse to do something, but all you're doing is cutting off your understanding concerning the things of God and the word of God. That's why people who all of a sudden decide I'm going to change my life in connection to God's word, they're so impossible to deal with because they've cut off their understanding. The problem, you know, Jesus, let's go back over to Matthew 13. Jesus then, after giving this thing about the soils, and talking about this promise, Jesus then illustrated all this with the parable of the sower and the seeds, and he goes into detail, of course, with the apostles in Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. He goes into the detail of this, and we're not going to go into this again, but in verse 18, he says this, in chapter 13, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away. There's all kinds of things out there trying to snatch away our understanding. He says, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. Then he goes on and talks about the seed and the seed in the stony places. He talks about the seed sown among the thorns. He talks about these three different seeds. You've heard this message before. And so three produce nothing. The stony soil, the thorny soil, the wayside soil produced absolutely nothing. So the preaching went forth, but it didn't produce because the hearer was unwilling to listen and apply. And so as a result of that, there was no fruit. Now listen, the real evidence of listening is fruit. The real evidence of whether I'm listening in my life is it producing fruit in my life? Am I bringing forth fruit? The fruit is the test of whether we're really listening, receiving, and applying. You know, a lot of people can boast of all kinds of great Bible knowledge. They're great hearers, but they're not listening. And so as a result of that, there's very little fruit in their life. And the problem was not the sower in this case, because in this case, the sower was the Lord, and the seed is God's word. It was the receptivity of the soil that was the problem. It was the listening. Now, we always focus on the heart, but before the word of God can get in the heart, it's got to go through the ear. We got to be willing to listen. It's got to get past our attitude. It's got to get past our receptivity. It's got to get past our willingness to change, our willingness to be corrected. Amen? Our willingness to make changes in our life. It's got to get past all of that before it can impact the heart. Now, the parables that follow are the parables of the tare and the mustard seed. In verses 24 through 26, we have the parable of the tares. That's usually considered to be false professors that sprout up. And then we have the parable of the mustard seed, in which this seed brings forth something unusual, something grotesque, if you will. But in both cases, proper seed was sown. Are you all following me? In both cases, proper seed was sown, but something happened in the process. Something happened to the point that we have this grotesque thing that sprang up. We have this situation where false professors and confusion reigned. Even though the seed was good and it was sown properly, it produced something grotesque. Grotesque in the sense it wasn't what it was designed to produce. It's And you see this on display all the time. The Word of God can be preached in any auditorium, and there'll be 100 different responses to it. Because it has to do with our willingness to hear, and that has to get past our attitude, our preconceived ideas. It has to get past our stubbornness. It has to get past our unwillingness to be rebuked or corrected. It has to land on a submissive attitude. And when that happens, it brings forth fruit. And what happens a lot of times is it brings forth something that God never intended because the listener didn't make application of it. I'm just telling you, this listening thing is important. It's an important part of God's work. Now, what does all this mean? And we'll wrap this up. It means this, that the preacher's not free from responsibility. I mean, the preacher needs to study. He needs to be prayed up. He needs to do all those things. I'm not in any way taking away from the responsibility of the preaching side of this or the teaching side of it. The preacher and the teacher certainly has a responsibility. He should be right spiritually. Absolutely. Absolutely he should be. I'm not trying to remove the spiritual side of that. In preaching, though, the preacher's main responsibility is to preach the word. That's his primary responsibility. In such a way, as Paul said to the Ephesians church, I am free from all men's blood. So in other words, the preacher's job is to preach God's word, whether the listener likes it or not. Whether you agree with this truth, or whether you agree with this position, or whether you agree with this thing or not, it's not my responsibility to be concerned about what everybody thinks. It's my responsibility to preach God's word. If you don't like it, then you got to take it up with God. Amen? If you're going to take it up with me, I was reading something, and I shouldn't have read it. You ever read stuff that makes you mad? You shouldn't have read it. And I've seen this countless times. Somebody harping about, it wasn't anybody here, so don't get carried away. Somebody harping about how, you know, their church, this, that, and the other, and you're not allowed to ask questions, and you can't ask anything or challenge anything. You should be able to ask questions. Nobody's saying you can't. I know a lot of preachers, and none of them that I know would ever say, you're not allowed to ask a question. The problem is, they're not asking questions. They want to just come and tell you they disagree, and they want you to conform the church to what they want. I'm more than happy to entertain a question, but I've been doing this a day or two, and so what I believe is based on Scripture. So if you want to come and say I disagree, then have at least the respect to come with Scripture. Amen. And say, this is why. Don't come with me with some response that's a mile wide and an inch deep. All right. I mean, a real scriptural, well thought out, balanced approach. Our job is to preach God's word. I don't know why you got me off on that, but our job is to preach God's word and say, this is the truth. This is the way it is. It's not the preacher's job to be concerned with how the hearer responds. Now, that doesn't mean that we should just be unintelligent about it. We got little ones up here, so I can't use the real word. Be unintelligent about it. All right. We shouldn't be mean spirited because we know how to be. But we need to tell the truth. So that's the preacher's responsibility. Paul makes it pretty clear. Listen, I want to be free from all men's blood. You may violate Scripture, but I don't want it to be because I didn't tell you here's what the truth is. What you do with it is up to you. The hearer, though, has a responsibility to receive for themselves and apply the message. This puts a whole new spin on this statement. Well, I just don't seem to be getting much out of the preaching. When the Word of God is handled rightly and preached clearly, this statement is not an indictment of the preacher. It's an indictment of the hearer. Because it's not the preacher or your Sunday school teacher's job to make you understand, to make you get something out of it. You know, I've been preaching a long time, and so I can listen to some guy. I appreciate Brother Peliquin's message Wednesday night. I appreciate the messages our guys preach on Wednesday night. You know, I was doing this before they were born because they're so young. It's not the other thing you were thinking. It's because they're so young. But my point is this. I can get something out of it. I mean, are they discovering some great nugget I've never seen in my 40-some years? No, but I can get something out of it. You know why? Because I want to hear something. I want to find something I can apply. And so as hearers, it's our responsibility to hear and to listen. Because preachers are hearers too. It's our responsibility to try to find some way to listen, to get what we can out of preaching. So it puts a new spin on this idea, well, I just don't get much out of preaching. Well, that says more about the hearer than it does the preacher. You know, we're facing a problem today. And that problem isn't over in Amos 8:11. I won't make you turn there so we can quit. But Amos 8:11, it says, Amos is talking about the fact, he says that they were facing in their day a famine, not of bread, but of the preaching of the Word of God. And this is not mainly talking about the hearing of words when someone's preaching the Word of God. Israel always had prophets and preachers. Even in their worst days, they had prophets and preachers. But in this case, her problem again was hearing. And we have a famine today of people willing to sit and listen and to hear God's Word. Just sit with an open heart and say, whatever God wants, however God wants to speak to me, whatever God wants me to do. Many want to discuss the passage. You know, when you start having discussion groups about God's Word, all that does is pool ignorance. Right? It doesn't really do any good or advance anything. You know, some are searching for more entertaining services because preaching is boring. Some are like those in Acts 22 where it says that the people gave Paul audience until this word. You know, until Paul got on that thing, then they weren't willing to listen anymore. The trouble is not that the Word of God can't be found. The trouble is that people are failing so many times to listen. We have to listen. It's vital that we listen. Listen, God speaks to us primarily through His Word and through preaching and teaching. And so it is vital that we listen. The only way we can ever have any hope of living a life that pleases God is being willing to listen. Let me give you this and we're done. When did this failure to listen start? Well, it's sad, isn't it, that it started almost from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2 and we're done. Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There was no failure here, was there, of God's word? God's word's very clear. If you want to think about it this way, God preached it very clearly. Not too hard to understand. Don't touch that tree. Don't mess with that tree. Pretty simple preaching. There was a failure to listen. And it was not so much a failure to listen, but a failure to listen to God. When Adam failed to listen to God, he listened to someone else. Satan came along in the garden, and he fell under another influence. Listen, we won't listen to preaching. We'll listen to something else. Can I say that again? When we're unwilling to listen to preaching, when we're unwilling to listen to teaching of God's Word, we'll always listen to someone else. We are all being influenced. And we are creatures of influence. And so if we don't listen to preaching, we'll listen to social media, we'll listen to somebody else, we'll listen to somebody's book, we'll listen to something, because we're all going to be influenced by something. And so when Adam failed to listen to God, he was influenced by someone else. And when we fail to listen to preaching of God's Word, we end up listening to someone. Worse yet, we're more prone to listen to the wrong person than the right person. Isn't that true? Wouldn't it be great? That wouldn't be bad if we were prone to listen to the right person. But we don't default toward the right person. We default toward the wrong influences. The devil, the world, social media, rebellious believers, backslidden, worldly Christians, disgruntled people. And failure to listen is why too many of saved people pass what God's Word says, or pass up on what God's Word says for the experts. Why listen to what God has to say about trial reading? I'm having a horrible time preaching on preaching. Why be concerned, or why take up what God says about child rearing when you can read the experts on child rearing? I mean, all God did was made them, you know. Why not read this guy or this guy on child rearing? Why not read this person or this person on the Word of God rather than reading the Word of God? And so, this is why we still have preaching 3 days a week, because we need to listen. If this truly is God's Word, and it's being preached Sunday night and Wednesday night, why would you want to be anywhere else? Being faithful is not just a matter of showing up for church. The issue is, you are not here to listen. You know, when we're not here for church, we just don't miss the fellowship with each other. We miss the Word of God. We miss an opportunity to listen. And we all need all the preaching of the Word of God we can get to drown out the doctrine of the culture. We need all of it we can get, because we're more heavily influenced than we realize, the culture that we're in. You know, not much has changed since the garden. Adam and Eve didn't listen to the message of God's Word. And as a result, they listened to someone else. And then eventually, this will shock you, after they failed to listen to God's word like they should, they started listening to someone else, and before you know it, they knew more than God did about the issues of their time. That's why it says in Genesis 3, verse 6, and the woman saw the tree that it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, it was desirable, she didn't see anything wrong with it, so they ate. You see the progression? You don't listen, you fall under the influence of someone else. Before long, you know more than God does about it. And so therefore, they ate of the tree and got themselves in trouble. And we can make application of that all across the board if we had time tonight. What they should have done was said, God, forgive us for not listening. Amen. Forgive us for not listening. People do the same thing today. It's, you know, and their failure then, they failed to listen. As a result of that, they fell under another influence. Before long, they were questioning God on this issue, on this thing. They were questioning whether this was as good as it should be or not. And of course, then when everything went sideways, they blamed somebody else. Right. It was God's fault. It was the serpent's fault. It was the woman's fault. And again, people do the same thing today. It's the preacher. It's the church. It's legalism. They're unfriendly. I'm not being fed. Whenever I hear that phrase, I'm not being fed, I think of these little baby birds in a nest with their mouth open. You're supposed to drop the word of God in there so that they can get it, instead of thinking I should be grown up enough to be able to feed myself a little bit. You know, everyone's running around today worrying about speaking in tongues and healings and signs and wonders and arguing about issues and obscure verses and end time prophecy. Churches are spending thousands of dollars on stage setting, lighting, praise team equipment, trying to get, you know, up to 1,000 different new ways of making church more exciting, starting new contemporary churches on top of contemporary churches. Here's a thought we ought to consider. What if people worked harder at listening? At just listening to what God has to say, with the aim of making application in their lives. Amen. Instead of another amazing, charismatic, or purpose-driven revival, what we really need more than anything else is a revival of listening to the preaching of God's word and making a genuine, honest application of its truth to our life. Just stop arguing with God. His brother Pelican, he brought it Wednesday night. He was talking about, you know, the word of God says what it says. He stole all of my thunder. That's why I keep referring to it. It says what it says. What's an abomination is an abomination. What God finds disgusting is disgusting. You can dress it up and try to change it all you want, but it's still disgusting. All we have to do is just listen and apply it to it. Stop arguing with him. Stop reasoning about it. Stop trying to justify it. Stop talking about the culture and how times are different. And that's the Old Testament. And we're under grace. And on it goes. And just listen and do it. It's amazing how much simpler life gets. Hey, you ever told your kids this, if you have kids old enough? If you had just what? If you had just listened, you wouldn't be in this spot. You got a Heavenly Father who spends most of his time in heaven probably going, if you had just listened, you wouldn't be in this spot. We just need to listen. Isn't that just a simple thought? It took me forever to say it, but we just need to listen. I meant to listen. I could have just said that and let's have an invitation. You heard that part though, didn't you? Wouldn't it be great if during invitation times people came forward and committed the Lord to come and truly listen with the desire to just obey God's word? What if lost people stopped listening to their own reasoning and their own thoughts and the internet and just listen to what God says about the gospel? Perhaps if some of God's own people stopped listening until the preacher got on that subject, there would not be so many issues in churches. You know why there are so many issues in churches? Because people listen until those words. And they cut themselves off, and so they don't understand the reason for anything. What if we had a revival of people who listened rather than argue and debate and challenge and grade things? Of people who were more concerned about God's word than being entertained. Who take up the responsibility of the hearer. Just to say, I'm going to get something out of this message. And I'm going to find a way to apply it to my life and use it. And when it smacks me upside the head, when it challenges my wants, I'm going to listen and make application of God's word, amen, to my life. We need a revival of hearers. Amen. I want you to stand with me if you will.